Bring in Elliot Friedman of 31 Thoughts, the podcast, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Friedman, I'm led to believe that they're actually going to let you enjoy some time off. Is this a rumor?
It's a rumor for 3 more weeks, and then it's true.
Oh. See, I was told that, well, maybe this is your last hit with us then. Perhaps that's what.
Initially, it was going to be because I thought I had Olympic duties, but I don't think I have Olympic duties anymore. So we'll go through the draft and free agency week.
Okay. Just wondering there.
You happy about that? Not heading to
No, I'm a bit disappointed, but you know, Richard, it's tough because, you know, because the hockey season went so long, it went into the Olympics, right? And you know, you can't do both. You got to do one or the other, and my hockey duties preclude it. So I understand. I will say I love the Olympics. I would like to do it, but
I know you do, and it's a great honor for a broadcast to do it. I will say this, Elliot, and I'm someone who covered 7 Olympics. I think Blair's obviously covered a number. Given everything we're reading about these Olympics, it might be the one where, while there's a part of me obviously that wishes I was there, there is also a big part of me that's like the headache that I think anybody traveling to go into that world is going to be perhaps larger and psychologically more challenging than previous Olympics.
That's certainly true, Richard, but I'd still do it. I would want the adventure.
I respect
of it,
that.
I would still want the opportunity to do it. I mean, it's still the Olympics. It's like, you know, it's actually a good conversation, Richard, because that's kind of what the NHL players are going through right now, is that, you know, you saw what the commissioner Bettman and Bill Daly said before game one of the Stanley Cup final. And you saw how the players reacted publicly, like Hedman and McDavid, and privately the Players Association's been canvassing them about it. And they're all still saying, we want to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very possible that in China in February that no families are going to be allowed. Movements are still going to be restricted. I actually heard from a listener who lives in China, and he said, you have no idea how movement is still very tough. And if you come down with the symptoms or they find out you've got it, it's still very tough. And, you know, and the players are like, we don't care. You know, we want to be Olympians. The power and the magic of those rings, no matter what you think about the politics or the stuff that goes around it, it's enormous for the competitors, and the players want to go. And the broadcasters are the same, I guess.
A ton to talk about. First, I want to ask, this is bizarre. Like, I never thought I'd be asking Elliot Friedman about Pierre Maguire. But anyhow, you know, and I almost feel like I just, are you surprised?
I did not see this one coming this morning. There's always going to be things that come off the radar, and this one was certainly off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised. I was very surprised. No question about it.
So, I mean, I'll follow up on this and then Blair can get to what he wants. But like, is my read on this, Elliot, that this, like, these outside the box kind of hires, it's no disrespect to Pierre. I know he was coach of the Whalers and he was a scout for a while, but like, these are so high risk, high reward to me, right? Like, it's if it works and it's a neutral observer and he sort of provides this really interesting, unique perspective, well, it's great for the organization. But also, as you know, there are a lot of times guys are out of the sort of the organizational structure for a long time, and man, it's like, it's a circle trying to fit into a square peg.
Well, I look at it this way. I understand what you're saying, Richard. I completely do. Look, the guy is immersed in hockey. He's obviously got a passion for it. He's immersed in it. He sees a lot of games. You know, his son is also a player who's coming up through youth hockey. He mentioned that now was the right time because where his son's schooling is. So he's seen, you know, players at different levels. You know, he knows a lot of people. He talks to a lot of people. I don't think it's a gamble in that way. You know, I think the other thing too is Pierre has wanted this chance for a long time. I find it very hard to believe that now, being given an opportunity to join a team, he's not going to do everything he can to make sure he's as successful as possible. I think Ottawa's hired a person here who is eager for this opportunity, badly desires this opportunity, and I think he knows that this could be the one opportunity he gets. So he's got to do well at it. To me, the most interesting thing here is he's got a three-year term. The current GM has 1 year left, but I believe they are talking to him about an extension. If that gets done, I think it answers a lot of the questions that a lot of us have. If that doesn't get done, you know, we'll see what this is going to mean for the future.
I'm sure it'll all go swimmingly with the Senators, because it always does. He said, tongue firmly planted in cheek.
Yeah, I knew what you were saying.
I know. Dean Chenoweth being hired by the Leafs as assistant coach. What does he bring? I'm looking at, obviously, I remember him as a player, but I'm looking at his resume, his resume as well. I mean, it seems as if you're getting a guy who's he's a little older than Dave Hakstol, is he?
Yeah.
And he's certainly got a ton of experience. How would you see him working into Sheldon Keefe's staff?
Well, I think that he's pretty good with defensemen. Like, he's got a really good reputation when it comes to teaching defensemen. Mm-hmm. He also has a good reputation with the penalty kill. Now, their penalty kill got torched by Tampa in the playoffs, but that happens. Like, that's just Tampa's power play, right? It was just so lethal that it was the wrong team at the wrong time. But generally, if you look at most things out of that sample size, their penalty kill's been very good. He's got a really good reputation with defensemen. That's what Hextall's responsibility was, and I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like, it basically, it's a neat fit for the role that Hextall left. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think Toronto did talk to Rick Tocchet. I think that they couldn't reach a deal there, and I don't know if that means it went from Tocchet to if it was both and whoever they got done first, or what it was going to, or maybe they were considering multiple moves. I don't know the answer to that, but they were talking to Tocchet too. Chenoweth makes the deal, and he fits perfectly into a spot that Hextall just vacated.
Ellie, this is not an original take by me. I've certainly read this from a ton of people in the game, and that's Seattle being most likely busier than Vegas was when it comes to making prearranged trades prior to the expansion draft. We're obviously in a flat cat year, et cetera. Do you expect like a flurry of moves by the Kraken to sort of try to figure out this lineup before the actual expansion draft happens?
I don't know if we'll see it before the expansion draft happens, Richard, because one of the things that some people are telling me is that Ron Francis does not move quickly. And like, I think Seattle's number one priority is maintain financial flexibility. Okay. They're being handed a clean slate. You don't want to make the mistake of ruining your financial clean slate by taking too many of other people's problems. So what I think they're kind of doing is saying, okay, if we take a couple of these, what's it going to be and what's it going to cost you? So I think these pieces, like for some teams, it's moving slower than they would like it to be. They're not getting the certainty yet, right? So I think number one is maintain financial flexibility. And then number two, it's going to be who are we helping here, or who's helping us to help them. I think there's the potential, like, put it this way, Richard, I think there's a lot of teams that want Seattle to help them. I don't think Seattle's moving that quickly, and I don't think it's going to be painless.
The Duncan Keith move, which is something that I know you guys and people have been talking about for a while. You've been talking about it for a while as well. Look, as a Blackhawks fan, I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, I loved watching Duncan Keith. Duncan Keith, to me, is a reason they won at least one of those Stanley Cups.
He's a reason they won three of them, and he was the Conn Smythe winner in one.
Right. He's a terrific player. Do you like this move for the Oilers, the Hawks, and for Keith? I like it for Keith. Again, as a Blackhawks fan, I'm happy. I'm happy he's going to go to a place where his strengths are going to be utilized, which I think they will be in Edmonton. I think he'll have a major influence on the way things are done there, and I think, you know, I just think it's a nice, although I think ultimately a little costly pickup for them. But do you like it from all sides?
Well, first of all, I'm happy for Keith because he's going to be near his son, and that mm-hmm. was the number one reason he wanted to do this. So, as someone who's got a son about the age of Duncan Keith's son, I'm very happy for him for that. I think, like most people, I'm surprised that Edmonton didn't get Chicago to retain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's partially because, like, if you look at the cash, it's 11.5, it's 11 million cap hit. I think it's $3.5 million cash only. So I wonder if that's what Chicago said. I think Edmonton wanted the player. I think they wanted him for the way he takes care of himself. He's one of the league's fittest players. The league's one of the league's most committed players. I think they feel that, you know, with Darnell Nurse there, he doesn't have to play the number one role, and therefore he can he slots in a bit better than, you know, where he was in Chicago, where he had to take a lot of the toughest matchups. I would just say I'm surprised they didn't get Chicago to retain. I think, like most people, when it comes to this, that would be like, I'm not surprised it's Caleb Jones in the pick. They asked for Ethan Bear. They said no. They asked for Ryan McLeod. They said no. I think we all know what the Caleb Jones attempt here is mm-hmm. for Chicago. They're trying to get Seth to come there too. But I guess the only thing I'm surprised about here is that Chicago didn't have to retain.
Elliot, if you had to sort of take a percentage guess on whether these guys are going to be moved and what might happen, I'm very curious about Seth Jones and Jack Eichel in particular, because those two, could significantly change a franchise if you can get them. But I understand there's money involved and stuff like that. But those are the two I'm really curious about. Have you heard anything new on either front?
Well, I think Seth Jones, I think Philly made a proposal, and I think my sense is that Columbus was willing. I was a willing trade partner there, and Jones would not give a commitment at this point in time. And Philly said, we cannot do this deal without Jones signing an extension. So I'm led to believe that those talks are cold now. As for Chicago, I mean, now all the focus is going to switch to Chicago. I just don't know how Chicago can make a trade for Jones without giving up something they really not want to give up, whether it's Kirby Doc or it's DeBrincat. I could always be wrong about this, Richard, but I think right now if Seth Jones is in Chicago, it's a year from now as a UFA. And I think a trade, I just think it would give up pieces Chicago doesn't want to give up. You know, as for Eichel, I think that one happens after the expansion draft. I think there's interest, but I think it happens after the expansion draft. I definitely think there's interest, and I think teams have done a lot of research on his health, but I just don't see it as something that happens before the expansion draft.
Hey, Elliot, sticking with the Blackhawks for a minute. Now, Jonathan Toews is back practicing and working out with the team, and it appears yep. as if he's going to come back. Are there any salary cap machinations that is going to entail
for the Blackhawks? No, I don't think so, because after the trade today, they have a ton of cap room. I think they have like $11 million.
Okay.
They're going to be okay with that, yes.
Okay.
Well, I got one last quick one for Elliot. This is sort of a hometowner.
I wasn't done my Blackhawks one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to...
Jeff, stop whining.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. It's not so...
No, that's a product of us not being in the same studio, because I would have read Jeff's body language and shut up. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Blackhawks. How many times have I had a chance to talk about the Blackhawks this year? Yeah, I want to take advantage of this opportunity. Seth Jones aside, what is this team right now? Like, where are they in rebuild, retooling, or however you would describe it? Where are they realistically, do you think?
Well, I think they want to kind of rejuvenate. I think that's probably the word I would use. And I think that's why they're after Jones or Hamilton. I think they want to add on their blue line. But I think they look at it like, we have some pieces here. Like, they still believe in Kane. We'll see where Toews is. And then we'll see, like, they obviously believe in DeBrincat. They obviously believe in Doc. They've got a couple of young D, but they want to add, obviously, a big stud there. I have a feeling that they're one of the teams that's looking for goaltending, too. Mm. I, I, I don't think that they're satisfied with everything they've got. I think Chicago is in a position where they really want to, like this year they had a spurt at the beginning of the year and it kind of fell apart. I think that they're trying to do something a bit more lasting for next season. I think they want to be more impactful next year.
All right, Deitch, you can talk about the team that hasn't won a Stanley Cup in a gazillion years now. Go ahead.
Before we go, one last hometown one here. Do you see any scenario, Elliot, where the Leafs can somehow bring back Freddie Anderson on a cheap deal? Or is that just unrealistic given, even if he didn't have the year he expected, where he might slot salary-wise for a team that needs goaltending help?
I just think it's unlikely. I don't want to say no. I mean, if the market doesn't go to where Anderson wants, he decides he wants to come back here and Toronto still has a spot, I guess that could happen. I just don't – like the way it ended last year, I see that if this marriage continues, it's because you don't like what else is out there. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now.